All right, so this is where we're going to start. So don't forget to pray. We'll put it in the prayer list. Don't forget to pray for Godfrey and for Myra as well. Okay. All right, Luke 10, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Three verses. All right, after these things, and of course that's a reference to Luke 9, the Lord appointed 70 others also. Luke 9 sent out the 12 apostles. Luke 10, 70 disciples, 70 followers. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to tell people that the kingdom of God is near. The Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. In 2015, a documentary came out. In fact, a documentary that I believe won an Academy Award. This is an amazing story. But in 2015, the documentary called The Dropbox was a documentary that tells a remarkable story about this man here in the slide here is from South Korea. He's the pastor of the Jusareng Community Church, which is God's Love Community Church. God's Love Community Church in Seoul, Korea. He's the pastor there. His name's Lee Jong-rak. We'll call him Pastor Lee. Lee Jong-rak. And all over the world, millions and millions of children all over the face of the earth are abandoned at birth. We all realize that. Millions are aborted, and millions that are born are just abandoned. They're left on the side of the road. In South Korea, the societal, cultural disgrace that falls on women who have a child out of wedlock is really, really huge. It's very, very strong there. So if a woman hides one way or another her pregnancy, if that's possible. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's just not. But if she can hide it, have that child, and then just conveniently dispose of it, that takes away the disgrace. And of course, we are all aware that this has been going on since the beginning of time, unfortunately. Unwanted children, they're left to die in an alley or street corner. Sometimes they're put in trash bins. But in Korea, sometimes, thankfully, they're left on somebody's doorstep. And you know, when those newborns began being placed on Pastor Lee's doorstep, he actually lived inside the church where he ministered. His home was inside the church. Maybe I think it's like on an upper story. And he and his family lived up there. And they began to leave the children on the doorstep. Those were the moms that had somewhat of a conscience still left and didn't just throw them to the wild animals. They said, hey, listen, surely this church will take care of this baby. And so Pastor Lee, he and his wife, they were spurred. They were spurred to take action, and their Christian faith said, we've got to do something, okay? And he noticed that many of these children that were being left on his church step were children that had mental disorders, and they were not in good health and things like that. It didn't matter. He would take them in, and he would try to find adoptive homes, get them to an orphanage, do something, but not allow them to perish. Now, the long, cold winters in South Korea, he built what's called the Dropbox. That's why the name for this documentary, the Dropbox. And this is it from the outside. If you'll notice, isn't this welcoming? They painted the cement green and they put there are some things there on the cement so people won't slip on the slippery paint. They put those there so as they walked up the sidewalk there and the stairs, and they would come to this drop box, and of course there's a message in Korean there above it, and it's a message basically saying, you know, please place your child here, we will take care of it, and love that child and find a good home for it. And so this is open 24 hours a day. The box is basically like a little drawer, as it were, a drawer that people could open and place the child in there. It's warm, it's heated, it's got light, and every time that door is opened and closed, an alarm goes off in Pastor Lee's bedroom, and he rushes down, and he takes the baby out, and they begin to care for it, and they begin to pray. And some people have criticized Pastor Lee. There's a lot of volunteers that help. Typically, they'll have a dozen babies living in Pastor Lee's house. And during the day, volunteers come and help Pastor Lee out. They'll have about a dozen babies, and they're constantly caring for them and looking for places to adopt them or to take them in, orphanages, places that will love those children. And he's been criticized a lot. They say, Pastor Lee, you shouldn't do that because you know what? You're making women want to give their children up. And he's like, no. It's been happening since the beginning of time. I'm not causing anybody. What I'm causing is I'm here to take care of the children that people do decide, even though it may not be the right thing to do is to give the child life and not to remove life. And despite the criticism, despite the enormous cost, an overwhelming amount of work, the lack of any government funding, Pastor Lee and his family and the volunteers in the church, they continue. Night after night, he stays up listening for the alarm. When a new baby arrives, they go right away and take care of it. Now, going back to the movie. When that movie came out, I think it's an hour long. I don't think it's 2 hours long or anything. He's just documenting what they're doing here. And this is where I wanted to get to in the story, not just about the drop box itself, but about the man who did the movie. Okay? When that movie came out, both Christian audiences and non-Christian, secular people, rushed to see this movie. A lot of people went to see it. In fact, the magazine in Hollywood, it's called, let me see, I got the name here, it's called The Hollywood Reporter. Okay? That's a secular journal. It's just a journal, a magazine, whatever you want to call it. It talks all about what's going on in Hollywood. And guess what that secular magazine had to say after this movie came out. You know how they give a critique of movies? They have the people give a critique? This is right out of that magazine. Listen very carefully. The director of the Dropbox, Brian Ivey, young man, he was transformed by the making of the film. He grew up going to church on Christmas and Easter, and considering himself a Christian because, quote, I didn't smoke cigarettes and I watched Fox News with my mom. It was a decorative label. He said, I just wore it. You know, I just said, somebody said, are you? Oh, I'm a Christian. But he wasn't really a Christian. But witnessing Pastor Lee's sacrifice once he got to Korea, witnessing his sacrifice and compassion for abandoned children changed his perspective. This is what Ivy said after he got there. By the way, he wasn't even planning on making a movie about the Dropbox. He just found out about this once he got there. He was making a movie about something totally different. But he said, these kids were helpless. And I realized I was broken and helpless too. And I also needed to be rescued. Wow. Ivy actually went to South Korea to make a different movie, but once he met Pastor Lee and saw the work he and his team were doing, he changed his plans. He started filming a movie called The Dropbox. And in the process, listen to this, in the process, once he got back and he began to edit the movie, he got on the internet. He listened to a sermon on the internet about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved. Right in the middle of, he's hour after hour after hour, he's editing. He's putting in interviews that he had over there. He's putting that in. He's editing. He's showing the love of these Christians. And he's watching that. And at the same time, he's listening because he's hungry. He's listening to a sermon, and he becomes a believer in Jesus Christ. Wow. This is what Brian Ivy, this is what he said about Pastor Lee. Pastor Lee was able to love those children who weren't outwardly beautiful, mobile, or able to speak. He didn't need anything from them. He had everything. I think what he's saying there is that, listen, this guy had what money can't buy. He had what money can't buy. He had everything. He could just give. You know, that's an amazing story. What we've got here is a movie producer who realized, as he's watching babies be rescued, that he needed to be rescued. He needed to be rescued spiritually because he sees a believer, and not just Pastor Lee, but all these volunteers, day after day, day after day, day after day, caring for these children. He sees that they need to be rescued. And what is the result that comes out of that? Here's an unsaved movie producer. He grew up in a home that was quasi-Christian. They were sort of Christian. But all of a sudden, he sees true love before his eyes. And it's just overwhelming him. And then he hears about true love with his ears when he listens to that pastor preach on the internet. Wow. The love he sees is so awe-inspiring, he hungers. He's seeing children being rescued, he hungers to be rescued personally through the good news of Jesus. Now, in my message last week, I said that one of God's goals for our lives is to treat people so kindly, to begin to reach out to people around us, first with how we treat them, with kind words, with graciousness, with kind deeds, maybe just little things. It might just be a little note that you put on their front door or in their mailbox or on their cubicle at work or whatever it is. Or it might be a phone call and you just leave a voice message. But we begin to love people. And the goal is, of course, we've been saying, is we want to do these things so for the purpose that we may love them in such a way that they stand back and they say, what gives here? I don't know any people like this person. You know what? Most of the people I know, they're all a bunch of whiners. They're a bunch of complainers. They're always putting people down. They're always gossiping about people. Man, this person, all they want to do is help people. And you know, and we want them to be, we want to get them to the place where they're wondering so much, what makes you different, that they finally come out and say, okay, can you tell me what's up with you? That's kind of, no, again, we may, hey, listen, we may never hear those words, but you know what? You know what? We have to do all we can to try. Don't forget, listen to me, Noah built an ark for how many years, everybody? 120 years. And you know how many people listened to him? Zero. I mean, his own family, 8 people. And he was one of the 8. Okay, so seven people listened to him, and the entire world around him didn't. But you know what? He didn't give up. And you know what? I'll guarantee you. I'll bet you any money that in eternity we'll find out that Noah helped a lot of people in those 120 years. He helped them even though they might have walked away and said, what a dolt. What an idiot. All you got to do is go up to him and the guy will slip you a 20. What a jerk. Okay? You know what? Jesus loved people just like that. And he said, we're always going to have the poor. So everybody, what is this called? This, we can give it the moniker, we could give it the title, Becoming a Redemptive Person. Now, I know that sounds kind of weird and nebulous to you. Maybe it's mysterious. But becoming a redemptive person means becoming a redeemer, becoming a rescuer. What does a redeemer do? When Jesus redeems us, he rescues us from Satan's kingdom and he places us in God's kingdom. He redeems us. He redeems us from the law. He redeems us in so many ways. But he takes us off the slave block and he purchases us and he brings us into his family. He's a redeemer. Jesus is a redemptive person. He's rescuing. Think redemption, rescue. Redemption, rescue. Say it with me. Redemption, rescue. Redemption, rescue. When you're a redemptive person, you are a rescuer. You know what God needs? He needs more people that'll value the people around them. Not make a knee-jerk reaction to want to put them down. Oh, look at that person. Oh, and just start commenting on how. No, he wants us to value people that nobody else values. Hey, is everybody, even the worst of the worst, are they made in the image of God? Yeah. And so you know what? They have value. They're valuable in God's eyes. And so I want to talk to you this morning about that topic. That's the title that I've given for my message. We're talking about redemptive people. A redemptive person is one who restores, rescues, helps another find freedom. Hey, listen, there's people all around us. You know what? You can't see it, but they got chains on their ankles and chains on their wrists spiritually. You don't see those, but you know what? Sometimes you see it because their eyes are so glazed over because they're addicted to drugs or opioids. Or they're so tattered, women on the side of the road, it's just obvious they have their faces painted. And it's just obvious that they're women of the night. But God still values people. And you know what, everybody? What I'm trying to do in these few weeks that we're going to talk about these things at the beginning of 2020 is I want to rattle my cage and all of your cages. We have to have a brand new mindset in our brain. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We need to have his mind implanted into our little selfish, little self-seeking mind. So the title that I'm given today is simply this. I'm just going to give you some important lessons on becoming a rescuer, becoming a redemptive person. So would you bow with me for prayer, and then we'll get right through these points and have the Lord's Supper together. Father, please use my words today in all of our lives. Lord, shake us. Spirit of God, hear my cry and use me. And Lord, let these principles wake us up. Wake us up. Lord, let us here at Ridgepoint be different from churches all around us. Let us be different, Lord. Let us be rescuers. Let us be hungry. Let us be people that say, God can do the impossible. He can take a broken person and set them free and put them on a rock and establish their goings. Help us, Father. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last week, I said, One of God's greatest goals for our lives is for us to treat people so they'll ask why. And I also talked about John Lloyd Ogilvie, the pastor, the author, and the chaplain of the U.S. Senate for like 10 years toward the end of his life. 10 years he was in the Senate counseling the families and the senators. 10 years. Praying, counseling, ministering. And I showed you this quote of his last week, talking about outreach, talking about loving people, talking about getting out of our little cocoons, getting out of our little safe spaces. Are you listening? Are you listening, everybody? This is so important. Without God, we can't. Without us, He won't. You see, the Lord Jesus isn't in a human body today, and He's not walking around talking to all 8 billion people one by one. Do you know how long it would take to talk to 8 billion people one by one? It's like a long time. In fact, I don't even know if you took a calculator and calculated it. 8 billion minutes, how many that would be? I don't know. That sounds like an awful long time. But this is why in His time on earth, Jesus worked so tirelessly helping His disciples become this redemptive people. People who could help others find God, find freedom, find forgiveness that only God could give them. Now, let's do a little review here in the Bible. Let's do a little Bible lesson here. If we go back to Luke chapter 9, of course, in Acts 1, Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." Church of Jesus Christ, starting with the apostles, then the 3,000 Jews saved at Pentecost, you will be my witnesses. You will be my testifiers. You witness in a courtroom. You tell what you saw, or you tell what happened to you. When you're God's witness, you say, "Man, let me tell you what happened to me. I was really doing horribly. And you know what happened to me? Somebody told me the good news about Jesus." You're witnessing. You're testifying. You're giving words to other people that can set them free. I had the opportunity to do that last night with a man from India. I had to get some computer help, and this man from India, we had a long break where the computer was trying to do its thing twice, 8 minutes long. I used every minute of those 16 minutes to tell him about Jesus and let him ask me questions. By the time we got done, I was giving him my email address, and he emailed me, and I saw it come right up out of my phone from India. I don't know, 12, 13, 14 hour time difference. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock last night. Here, probably 8 or 10 in the morning in India on Sunday morning already. But think about that, everybody. And you know what? He was already going on GES's website looking at the stuff on faithalone.org. In India, as I'm talking, he says, "Yeah, I'm looking at it right now." And he says, "Hey, I'm going to have questions. Can you give me your email address?" "Man, yeah." "Hey, everybody, you know what? People are dying out there to hear, but we just have to be God. You know what we have to do? We don't know where they're at. We have to go out and just trust God." Hey, does everybody trust God here today? Do you believe that God exists? Do you believe that God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him? Okay? Do you believe that all things, whatever we ask in faith, believing, we will receive? Yes. And do not doubt. Okay? Yeah, God wants us to trust Him. And you know what? We need to get up and hit the ground saying, "Lord, maybe today You'll bring a person by I have no idea. And I'll be ready." You see what I'm saying? You've got to, hey, listen, everybody, you can't be passive. "All right, Lord, if anything happens this year, I'll do my best." No, you got to get up and be looking. Hey, if you're does a guy that's a lifeguard, does he go up on the chair and fall asleep? Well, you know, if somebody starts screaming, I might wake up. No, he's constantly looking around. He's not letting people bother him if he's a good lifeguard. You know, on the ocean, they got the binoculars, and they're looking, you know. They're looking to see if Lonnie Anderson's coming. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but what I'm saying is they're looking out there in the ocean, and they're trying to see. You know what I'm saying? Okay, So you'll be my witnesses. If you go back to Luke 9, we're not in Luke 9, we're in Luke chapter 10 today, verses 1 through 3. But in Luke chapter 9, he sends out the 12. In Luke chapter 10, he sends out 70. First, he started with the apostles, and he's basically saying to all, like, let's say that in our church, the elders are the apostles. And let's say you're the disciples. So first, Pastor Bob says, okay, elders, you're going to get out there. And you're going to tell, I'm going to have you come up and talk to the rest of everybody what it was like. And so they get to kind of watch the leaders, and then the followers say, hey, Jesus, I can do that. Man, I can do that. I can go over there. And you know, I love you, and I want to do that. And so, you know, and he's sending them out. Listen, Galilee is not a giant metropolis. They all know each other, pretty much. Maybe not every single person, but generally speaking, if you got 70 people going out, I mean, okay, I'll give you, for instance, if 70 of us here went out, which would be everybody in this room, if we went to these 352 houses behind us here, okay, that would be kind of like our little Galilee. I don't even think Galilee might have been that big. But anyway, you'll be my witnesses. So Jesus decides to send out 70, and he instructs them, but they got to see the example of the apostles. So the Lord's raising up people who basically give their lives to do what he loves to do, which is to touch hurting lives. All right, listen, everybody. Listen, megaphone, Pastor Bob calling. Nobody is sleeping. Nobody, everybody awake. Nobody's sleeping anyway, but I'm just saying this is really important. This is really important. Listen. Without us, he won't. Without God, we can't. Without us, he won't. He needs you and I. Not just 5 of you, not just 10 of you. He needs all of us. But Pastor Bob, I've got problems. Other people have worse problems. Other people have a lot worse problems. Number one, they don't even know God. Number two, their thinking is all messed up about marriage. Their thinking's all messed up about life. Their thinking's all messed up about how to rear children. Their thinking's all messed up about finances, relationships. Go down the list. They need you. You don't have to be 50 yards ahead of them. You just need to be one step. Hey, listen, when I got saved, you remember I came out of the gutter. I was all messed up. Listen, I didn't wait 2 years to start living for Jesus. I mean, 2 weeks after I got saved, I bought a suit, went down to the youth center, and I said, hey, this guy came up to me. Hey, what's your name? I told him my name. He said, my name's Scott. You're with me. He grabbed me. He said, man, here's the guy. He's ready to go. And you know what? We worked together for 2 or 3 years after that. 3 years. He's still going today, still ministering to the poor in Chicago, doing a great job. Great ministry to the poor. And let me tell you, everybody, we don't wait. You don't have to be 50 yards ahead of people spiritually. If you're 1 yard ahead of them, you know what? You've got something they don't have. And you can make a difference. And again, I'm not saying that you got to be that. Last week I told you, you don't have to be this bombastic preacher to them. I'm just saying if you see somebody that's broken and you can rescue them somehow, you can give them little things to love on them and help them in some way, somehow, you can make a difference. Okay, let's clap. Ready? You can make a difference. There we go. All right. Whew. Okay. All right. So, this morning, what I want you to look at is what the master teacher did here. 4 lessons. 4 simple lessons, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. Okay. Number one, becoming a rescuer. Becoming a redemptive person. Hey, you know what? This is good for senior saints, and this is good for children. This is good for teenagers. You want to be a rescuer? And not be selfish and wanting somebody to help you all the time. You want to make teens, you want to make a difference. Number one, you got to prepare. You got to, when you're going to be in the army, you got to go to boot camp. And if you're going to be a servant of the Most High God and help people around you, hey, let me ask you this. Teenagers, do you want to see your best friends in school die one day and go to a devil's hell? Well, you better start getting prepared. You say, I can't. Yes, you can. Just like when a guy that's 18 and he weighs 108 pounds, Bert, he's as skinny as a withered tree. He goes into boot camp. He says, I can't do this. Well, they're gonna make him do it, right, Bert? You been there, done that? Yeah. Okay. Notice that phrase. We're looking at just three verses. After these things. And of course, we already talked about this. What's that mean? After Luke chapter 9. After the apostles have gone out and done it, it's time for the disciples, God's bread and butter people, not pastors, not missionaries, not big wig evangelists. No. Everyday folks that love God. Jesus says, hey, I don't just deal with big wigs. I deal with precious children of mine who also want to make an impact for me. Okay? Number one, we've got to get prepared. You know, how did God prepare them with Luke chapter 9? I'll tell you. If you go back to Luke chapter 9, they got lessons about God's presence. They got lessons in Luke chapter 9 when the 12 were going out. Why? Because guess what happened in Luke chapter 9? In Luke chapter 9, Jesus, he sent the 12 out on their own, and they learned that when they went out, they weren't going out on their own. They learned about God's presence. Listen, you'll never be a redemptive person, you'll never be a rescuer if you don't know this. Lo, I am with you always. I love that word, lo. It's the word behold. It's a shortened version of behold in the Bible. What, when you read behold, when John said, behold the Lamb of God, that's a word that means something along the lines of, look! It's an interjection. It's like God stopping. You're reading, and you want to pop something in there. And they wake everybody up, and they say, look, lo. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, you're going to be my witnesses all over the earth. And lo, listen up. I will be with you always, even till the end of the age. Hey, listen. You'll never be the Christian you need to be. You'll never be the witness you need to be. You'll never be the rescuer God wants you to be unless you understand this. God is with you. Can you do it without him? No. Can you do it with him? Yes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do amazing things with God's presence. So number one, Christian boot camp, you got to know about God's presence. Secondly, you got to know about God's power. Okay? In Luke 9, do you know what else happened there? Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and with 2 fish. But you know what I love in the story? When you read that story, we won't go back there. The disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, they're starving, they're hungry. In other words, what are they saying to God? Lord, give these people something to eat. But you know what Luke 9 says? Jesus says, you give them something to eat. I love that. You give them. You know why? It's the same thing he's saying today. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll bring many people to the Lord and that our church will be full. And, blah, 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 blah. And we pray like that all the time, right? Oh, Lord, we want to see revival. And he's up there like, okay, you got it. Go. You bring revival. Now, I realize it's God and us, but what I'm saying is if we do the same thing with God and he would say to us, oh, you're my hands and feet, you're my lips, get out there. I'll bring them to you. You just got to be, you got to be a rescuer, okay? So that's God's presence, God's power. Probably upwards of 20,000 people eat that day, and you know, the Lord kind of, and you've heard this before, right? Because Jesus says, well, go pick up all that's left. And you know what? You got 12 apostles, and they're dragging their tails between their feet, right? Or between their back legs, like a dog does. Why? Because they pick up all of the leftovers, and there's 12 baskets of bread and fish, and they're like, Figures. Not 13, not 11, exactly 12 baskets. In other words, hey, listen, you guys, if you'll trust me, I'll feed everybody, and you all get a to-go box to go home and remember how much power I have. You get food for the whole week coming up. And all their wives said, amen. Okay, God's presence, they got lessons about that in Luke 9. They got lessons about God's power. They got lessons. Listen, you got to know this lesson, everybody. You got to know God's with you. You got to know God's powerful. And you got to know that your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Lions don't walk around because they want to go on their Fitbit walk. You know, I got one of those things, the Garmin little things, and I walk 10,000 steps every day. Kelly and I, man, we're walking by one another in the house. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Bob. Remember that cartoon where the two dogs would pass one another, one guy'd punch you and the other, hey, how you doing? Okay, I can't even remember the name of it. It's so old. But anyway, we walk by one another in the house. We're doing our steps. It's awesome. It's great. And by the way, my insurance company's paying me $3 a day if I make 10,000 steps. So in a year, I get over $1,000 from my insurance company for walking. Hey, I do it every day anyway. Why not put the stupid thing on? They gave it to me for free. So, okay. So anyway, make a long story short. I don't even know where I was going with that. Let me get it. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Satan's opposition. Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with the Garmin. Kelly, do you have any idea where I was going with the Garmin? No? Okay. All right. It'll come back to me in about 3 minutes when I don't need it anymore. Okay. So, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank God for Loretta. Okay. The roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yeah, Satan, he's not walking around for his health. He's looking because he's hungry. And you know what a lion does? And you know this. Just before he's about to bite the head off of the human, elk, deer, doesn't matter, whatever it is. I think it'd be hard to eat an elk's head with the antlers. But anyway, he's ready to kill that thing. He's going to roar before he bites their head off. And you know what? Satan is alive. Satan is destroying, killing, destroying, stealing this world over, everybody. But you know what? Our God is more powerful. You know what? He will give you the power to stand. Everybody, listen to me. I got saved out of a life of sin. Going on 41 years ago, this coming June, 40 years ago, 40 years I've been saved, over 40 years. And God saved me, and guess what? God's given me power and strength all these 40 years to keep fighting for Him, to not give up, not say, it's impossible, we can't do this. With God, nothing shall be impossible. That's our theme this year. You better memorize that verse. Say it with me. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Exactly. Say it every day. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your refrigerator. That's our theme. Yeah, I can do this. Satan's my enemy, but my God's greater than Satan. And you know what? Jesus told Peter. Peter, Satan has desired you that he could sift you like wheat. In other words, he wants to rip you up. But I've prayed for you. And by the way, Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Hallelujah. He is our protector, our rock. He's our fortress. He's our wall. And with his power and with his help, but folks, if we're not serious, if we're not close to God, close to God's people, close to God's word, on our knees and prayer. If we're not doing the bare minimum, listen, we are sitting ducks. And by the way, listen, everybody, your children and your teenagers and your grandchildren are sitting ducks. If you're not praying and seeking God, they'll get chewed up too. God wants us to seek Him in prayer for our families and for our church, everyone. Amen? So Satan, the apostles in Luke chapter 9, are like, Lord, you said that we could cast out demons. Why couldn't we cast them out? when they went out, the 12 went out, and these demons wouldn't come out of this boy. And Jesus says, because of your unbelief, you don't believe me. I told you who I am. I told you what I could do. But you don't believe with God, nothing shall be impossible. You don't really believe it. You heard it, but you don't really believe it. You heard the words, but down inside, nah. I've heard pastors say that ever since I was a teenager. Never works. Nah. Nah. That's the problem, because of our unbelief. When the apostles failed in their attempt to help the demon-possessed boy, they learned that Satan doesn't surrender territory easily. You want to reach your cul-de-sac? You want to reach people on your street? You want to reach people in your neighborhood, in your office, relatives that you interact with once in a while? You want to reach people? Satan isn't going to cede ground easily. You're going to need to pray. One time when they couldn't pass the demon out, Jesus said, these things don't come out but through prayer and fasting. So we need to be doing that this year too. Sometimes we maybe say, I'm going to give up breakfast and lunch today. I'm not going to eat till I get home for dinner. I'm going to give up, and during breakfast and lunch, I'm just going to pray today. We need to be doing that as well, everybody. When God, as you know, you have to be sensitive to God. You have to be sensitive to God. I'm not going to say how often you should do it or anything. You need to talk to your Father, all right? And get on his page. You know what? We're fighting a miserable foe, and guess what? He's not going to let go of those people he's got in chains. He's not going to let go of them very easily. He's got them chained, and he's had them chained for 5, 10, 15, 30, 80 years. He's not going to give up. Okay, that's number one. I better go quickly here because we got to do the Lord's Supper today. But I'll try to hit each of these well. Yeah, I'm preaching. I'm not following my notes. I'm just taking it. All right, number two. You got boot camp number one. You got to prepare everybody. We all need to prepare for 2020. We need to be thinking like God thinks. His power, his presence, Satan's opposition. And now you got a decision. The Lord says, Bert, Diana, Dan, Teresa, he's appointing. The Lord appointed 70. The Lord appointed 70. But we know this. The Lord probably, let me just say this, probably the 70 was every single person that was standing in front of them. He said, listen, I want you all to get in groups of two. Grab your best friend, okay? Quick, get in. And so there were 35 groups that were with him that day. Okay, perfect. You know, seven times 10 is God, you know, 7 is God's number. 10 times 7 is 10 times God's number. So there's 35 groups, all right? And so they all get together and suddenly have 70 people. Okay, and he says, I'm appointing you. I've got a task I want you to do. Okay? And the question here is, did it ever occur to you that the Lord appointed you? Think, teenagers, think. Children, think. Did you know that God appointed you? He's saying, I want you. I don't want you, kids, I don't want you to wait till you're 13, till you're older. Teenagers, I don't want you to wait till you're 21 and you haven't been, say, listening to God, and you went over here for years and years. And then when you're 21 years old, later on, you say, oh, yeah, you know, I think I should start living for God. No, he's appointing you right now. And same for all of us. God's appointing all of us. You all shall be my witnesses. Plural, you all. Y'all will be my witnesses. Okay? So my question this morning is this. You're saying, Pastor Bob, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I can't even barely talk. You're like Moses. I can't talk. Okay, listen to me. I got a list here. Okay? These are things you can shower on other people. Okay? Can you repair furniture? Can you mow a lawn? Teenagers?
Can you mow a lawn?
Okay, can you mow a lawn? Can you, men, ladies, can you fix a car? Can you listen? If somebody comes to you and you know they're under stress, can you listen? How about this? Can you read to somebody that maybe is shut in and they need a friend? Can you go and clean? Hey, ladies, how many of you want to go clean your... No, okay. Okay, can you clean a house? Can you bake some brownies? You know, we've talked about this before. We don't have to start off. Now, listen, last night the reason I started talking to that guy immediately is I had 8 minutes. I didn't have time to say, well, hey there, man. I just want you to know I love you, man. No, I didn't have time to tell him all that good stuff. You know what? But I came across as being very kind and very concerned, and he listened. You know why? Because God had him prepared. God had that guy. He was already thinking about these things. It's obvious. If he wasn't, he'd say, hey, listen, I don't want to talk about that stuff. You know what? Hey, I'm going to go off right now. I'll be back once your computer. I'll see it on your screen. No, he didn't do that. He sat there and listened and talked to me. He was already being prepared by God. Yes. And God will bring people into your lives. And as you love them and you help them along, you'll be able to plant seeds for a harvest. Okay? Paul said, some plant, some water, God gives the increase. Sometimes you're going to plant seeds. Sometimes you're going to water seeds other people have planted. But God is going to bring a harvest, and maybe through you. I don't know if I'll have the honor of leading that guy in India to the Lord, but guess what? I don't really care. I've planted seeds, and maybe God will bring a Christian in India, not very many of them in Bangalore, but guess what? There are some. They're a minority. But guess what? That was where Mel Thomas was from Bangalore. I hope that somebody comes by and says, hey, you know what? Have you heard the good news? Well, yeah, this guy in Dallas was talking to me just a week ago. Or he would probably say something like, well, yeah, there's a guy in Dallas. He was talking. Okay. Anyway, but you get the idea. Okay, so the way we fit into God's plan is by loving God, number one, greatest commandment, then loving others so that we might in God's time share the good news to him. The decision, number two, the decision I've got to make is, will I obey God? Okay, you got a decision today. You're God's children. Maybe you're young, maybe you're young, maybe you're a teenager. You have a decision today, teenagers. Are you going to join God's army? Are you going to sign up? Are you going to say, yeah, I want to be part of this. I want to do everything I can do at the age I am to bring glory to God. You got a decision. And guess what? Listen to me. Are you listening? Every one of you, you have a decision to make, and every one of you are going to say, yes, I'll do that. Or, no, I won't. Now, you might say, oh, I'm going to put that off. But guess what? When you do that, you're saying no. Because he's saying, I want you to go. Okay, so there's a decision there. Okay, what abilities has God bestowed upon you? Okay, use them. Use them. Use them. Okay? God is not just looking for faithfulness to a church service. He's looking for fruitfulness. He's looking for faithfulness because he says it's required in stewards that a person be called faithful. Yeah, he's looking for faithfulness to church and to groups and to Bible fellowship, all those things. But guess what? That's not all. Jesus said, you follow me, and I'll make you into fishers of men. Most Christians read that and say, follow me, and I'll make you into fishers of whalers or something. Fishers of fish sandwiches. Yeah, I like that. I love those Burger King fish sandwiches. That's my life. No, he didn't say, I'm going to make you into fishers of fish. He said, I'm going to make you into fishers of people, rescuers. I want you to rescue them. Pull them out. Pull them out of the dump. Dumps. Okay? Pull them out of the dregs. Okay, number three, two more. And these will go rather quickly. Oh, this is so important. Accountability. Guess what? You're not going to be able to do it alone. Jesus sent two out, sent them two by two. He sent them two by two. He put them in pairs. Okay? He put them in pairs. Why? Because the Bible says two is better than one. And here's what I want to say about this. What I want to say about this, especially married couples, or if you're not married, you can have a friend in a group, in your Bible fellowship. Find somebody that you'll say, hey, you know what? Would you be accountable with me? Would you and I, do you want to try to reach out to people like Pastor Bob's talking about? Okay, let's pray for each other. Husbands and wives, I want you to pray for one another. Okay? And Kelly and I are going to do this. We're going to get together and we're going to pray for each other because you know what? She has a heart for people. She has a heart for the salvation of others, and I do too. But you know what I want? I just need prayer. I need encouragement. I need somebody to lift me up if I'm down, and that's what we're here for, everybody. God made the church because he knew that the time that some of you are on the mountaintop, there's other people in the valley, and it changes. One day you're on the mountaintop, and the next day you're in, okay? It changes, and so we need accountability. So all of us, okay, we need to go into boot camp. We need to get prepared. We need to make the decision. Yeah, I'm joining. Number three, I want to be accountable. I want to have an encourager, a friend, someone pray with me, encourage me. Finally, number four, a sharp focus. Okay, this is what we're talking about. Okay, Paul didn't say these 300 things I do. These 300 things I do. No, Paul said this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth to those things that are in front of me. I press toward the mark. And you know what, everybody? We need to have a sharp focus. And Jesus sent them into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Oh, I love that. He said, disciples, 70, I'm sending you forth. I'm going to go there later on. Listen. As you're planting seeds, one day, Jesus is going to say, oh, guess what? Today's the day that Joe Doakes is going to put his faith in me. Bert and Doug and Bob, they've all been planting seeds in Joe. And guess what? I'm going to go there now. Today, and of course, I'm using this loosely. He's going with everything we do, of course. But I'm just saying, he's going to show up in person, in the sense spiritually, and bring that person to himself. You know what I'm talking about. That's so beautiful. First, he sends you and I out, and then he says, hey, it's harvest time. And nobody comes to the Father unless I draw them. And when God, the Lord Jesus shows up, he draws them to the Father, maybe using you and I, okay? So we've got to do the spade work, everybody. We got to take our spiritual shovels and start doing some work for the King of Kings, okay? And by the way, listen to me and listen to me well. I'll probably have, in the near future, some nights that I'll even ask people that want to. I'm not going to push this on anybody, but I'm going to say, hey, if you want to go out and knock some doors in our neighborhood tonight, I want to get some things to put in people's hands, like these little jelly jars we hand out. Hey, why don't we take some money out of our budget and just buy a bunch of those and go out in the neighborhoods and say, hey, we just want you to know our church is right over here, just down the road, and here, this is a gift from our church to you, and we just want you to know that we're here in case you ever need help. We're here to be a blessing to you. You know what? We could always go back there down the road. But you know what? You start doing that, wow, what a bunch of weirdos. Yeah, you know why? Because other people in the world don't go out and give free things to fallen people. We're different. We are weird, but it's good. It's in a good way. They're not going to take that jar or whatever you give to them and say, psh. Now maybe one or two of them that are really skeptical might, but most people will say, wow, thank you. This is awesome. Okay, so I'm going to do that in the future. But you know what? I'm not talking about doing it 2 hours a week, everybody. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing it all the time. You're a rescuer. You are a lifeguard for Jesus that needs to be always on the lookout. When you see somebody hurting, if you're in a grocery store and somebody's stuff falls on the ground, rush over there and help them out. You get down there on the floor and then yell out for the person to come and help you get off the floor because you can't get up, okay? But you help them get their food back, hand it to them, and when they go around the corner, then you start saying, help, help, or push the red button. Help, I'm falling and I can't get up. Okay. But you know what I'm talking about. Now, of course, let me just tell you this. Don't any of you, when somebody's on the side of the road on LBJ, please, don't get out of your car. If you want a quick ticket to the kingdom of God, do not. I mean, if you want one, then get out of your car. But don't do that because, you know what, policemen and firemen and people get killed all the time as Good Samaritans. You know what? There's a thing called AAA. And there's also a number you can call. What is it, 311, sister, that you can call? There's some number you can call. It's on the back of your driver's license? Okay, all right, do that. So as you're looking down at your license and back-ending the car in front of you, call that. No, I'm just kidding. Call that number. Pull off the road, call the number, and get them some help. But please, and most people have cell phones anyway, so that's, okay, you don't need to be doing that kind of help, but I'm saying there's so many other things, and you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so do the spade work. Many people think that evangelism is just knocking on doors, but biblically much more is involved. It's the awesome opportunity of seeing how God will use you and the abilities he's given to you. You all have amazing abilities from God in addition to your spiritual gift. You got all kinds of abilities and cool things that God's made you to do that you can bless other people. Hey, listen, if you can't play the guitar, don't pick up the guitar and go to a neighbor's porch. You've never played it before and you can't sing and then stand there and say, and I will always... Don't do that. That won't be cool. But you know what I'm saying. But you have an amazing gift God's given you. And so use it. Evangelism is not knocking on doors. That's one sliver. You can do that. But, oh, man, the other 99% of things that you can do in your own special way. Hey, I don't want you to raise a hand, but you know what? Is God's Spirit brewing in your hearts this morning? Are you being moved at all? Are you listening to what I'm saying? I hope so. I hope that you're saying, hey, raise up an army, oh God. Raise up an army. Let us be that kind of people. Hey, if other churches don't want to do it, fine. Just like Pastor Lee in Korea. Hey, listen, there's 1,000 churches. There's churches with 300,000 people in Korea. If they don't want to do it, I've got 20 people in my church. We're going to be different. And we're going to love people into the kingdom. It's not all love. You got to talk eventually. But guess what? Some of you that don't want to do that, you can call Pastor Bob. Call me. Hey, Pastor Bob, this person I've been talking to, they're ready. They want to be saved. Okay, where do they live? You've got a relative. You've got a friend. You got some. Hey, call us. I've got 10 people I can call right now in the church. They'll go and do it. I'll go do it. If I can't do it, I'll call somebody else. But guess what? If you're not there yet, don't give up. Keep planting. Keep planting. And if somebody needs to finally pull it out of the ground, call me. Okay, you all got my cell phone number. Call me. Text me. Man, we need to be doing this together. If you're not a harvester, if you're a planter and a waterer, that's okay. There's harvesters in the church. Man, we would love to do that. Amen? That's why we're a church. We all don't have the same abilities, but guess what? We put our hearts and minds together. We can make a difference. Say it. We can make a difference. Yes. Thank you. I'll be right back. Can you make a plate of brownies? Do you know how that would just floor people, strangers in your neighborhood, if you showed up and said, hey, we live right around the corner. We just wanted to know that we're your neighbors, and we're glad that we're your neighbors. We wanted you to have this. Tell you what, if somebody did that on my porch, I bet tears would start rolling down my eyes. And I could tell you one thing, my mouth, water would be rolling up in my mouth for sure if that thing showed up at my front porch, even though I'm not eating any of those in 2020. But I'm just saying, folks, you can make a difference, all right? You can make a plate of brownies. God's got a great opportunity for you and his army. And I just want to ask you before we have Lord's Supper, are you ready to join God's army and to be part of this? That's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks, all right? And so we're going to keep interacting about this. And men, I'd like you to come forward.